Hello, I'm Daryl Etherington.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Anthony Ha.
And we're here with Original Content, TechCrunch's flagship podcast, the best one. And it's about stuff that's original.
Are we declaring flagship podcast?
I can't wait for a higher up to listen and be like, wait, what?
Hey, whatever. We
They're
said it
listening.
First.
It's fine.
So, I mean, they might have said it, actually.
Whatever.
Hard to say. But we're the best one anyway.
So for those of you who have not listened before, this is the show where we recap the week's entertainment and streaming news, and then we review a new release. In this case, we're going to be reviewing Everything Sucks on Netflix.
Yes. That's been out, a couple weeks now? A few weeks? Actually, yeah, maybe a few weeks, but, you know, we took our time.
We skipped last week because Daryl basically has had this completely insane travel schedule.
I've had a nasty travel
schedule. You've
been,
flying, like every day or something like that.
Yeah, not every day. It's starting to affect me. I feel like there's I feel like I have, low pressure sickness or something. Just some kind of weirdness.
I've been through this before. Stop. Just sit still for a hot minute. You know what I mean?
But do you think that happens?
Does your body just breaking
Am I
down?
Like an astronaut where
yes.
my bones don't have holes
no,
anymore?
No, it's not like that. It's like the people who fly all the time and get I don't know what it's called. It's not the same thing, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Either way, unimportant. Either way, both are bad. Don't get those. Don't get those illnesses.
But it gives me a great chance to watch original content and be informed of all the great stuff that's out there, thanks to Netflix's offline mode, mostly.
Right.
Nice.
Well, so our first piece of news is about Netflix. And we should say this is something that has not been confirmed or announced yet, but the New York Times is reporting that Barack Obama is in negotiations to do a show for Netflix.
Yes.
It would not necessarily be topical political show, but they've sort of saying it's something to do with highlighting inspirational stories.
Right. And it's him producing, right? And then also Michelle has an involvement in some way.
Yeah, it seems like they're talking about a lot of different possibilities. So I think they're saying maybe he would be on camera, maybe he would just be a producer, and then Michelle might be involved. And Apple and Amazon are also interested. I mean, not surprisingly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But is anyone thinking the world is in turmoil? And I mean, I know he's.
I mean,
done,
I'm thinking that.
Oh. I know he's done, he served his 8 years and stuff, but I don't know. Hopefully this can be as impactful as something else he might do to help.
Yeah,
us.
I mean, I think this is being framed as, something where one of the things that he's been, spending a decent amount of time talking about, since leaving office is the sort of proliferation of these different kind of social media bubbles.
Yeah.
And how everyone sort of gets this very skewed view of the world depending on what their source of news is. And potentially this is even if it's not necessarily a news show per se, it's a way to sort of get his message out there when it seems like so much of our discourse now is dominated by what's on Breitbart and Fox News.
Also, isn't it just kind of like a reverse Trump? It's like I'll start as the president and then I'll become the influential TV man.
You're fired.
Right.
Oh God, I hope he doesn't use that. I don't see any.
Me too. I have the best words.
I think you're right, Anthony. I think, how does he continue to exert influence? And this is probably a pretty good way to do that, right? Rather than occasionally tweeting or going on other people's shows and saying hey, stop being such a fractured micro community. People, social people, but because if there's anyone that is now Netflix is the juggernaut of the media juggernaut that broadcast TV used to be. I feel like it's everybody goes to Netflix and it's more global than maybe broadcast was. Does that make sense?
Well, at least young people too. I mean, not that old people don't use Netflix, but the vast majority of under 30 are using Netflix primarily as opposed to broadcast. So,
yeah.
And that is pure fact. I made it up, but I feel it's real in my heart.
No, that's pure 100% real truth. There's no denying it. No one can deny it.
You can't. Mm-mm. So anyways, I look forward to it.
Well, if it exists, part of me, the gray lady might be wrong. Although she rarely
or,
is.
Or just if the negotiations don't. You
she
know,
marries.
Out.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I said rarely.
Daryl went. Oh, I thought you said the gray lady might be wrong, but she nary is. No. And I was like, this dude goes to Geneva for a day and he's like, oh, let me get my monocle.
You know what did happen? Side story. I did end up using French a lot there and I felt very foo foo. Frou-frou? Whatever it is. I don't know.
Wait, how is your French, girl?
Well, it turns out it's pretty good. It's like...
it's hyper-Canadian.
I thought that, too. I thought it was hyper-Canadian. I thought it was, like, mostly forgotten. But it turns out that if you're talking to... When I'm talking to people who don't have any English and only speak French, I can make myself perfectly understood and I can understand them perfectly. So it was great. I want to do it again.
I feel like Canada's version of French is like akin to like what Australia.
Well,
is
you're thinking
to
of Quebec
English.
Version of French, which is indeed incomprehensible both to people who like both to Swiss French, like France French, and to Anglo Canadians who learn French. Like it's we don't learn Quebec French; we learn France French,
actual French, yeah. France French.
And then when you hear people talking in Quebec, it's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I was talking to somebody in Geneva about this, actually. He was saying, like, it's like they use a version of French that kind of predates modern French. It's like actually a more French in some ways. Like, it's like France came, founded Quebec, and then was like, see you later, you're on your own. And they were like, oh, I guess we won't change anything at all about the language. And then... yeah, I don't know how accurate that is because I'm not like a linguist.
But that's not where you learned French.
No. I learned it in French immersion grade school. Basically, they just teach you exclusively in French at first, but in English Canada. And then they like gradually introduce English because they're like, oh, you learn English. Like you get English from home and from your social circles or whatever. So we'll like completely immerse you, hence the title or the name, in French at school. And then you'll...
That's pretty smart.
Yeah, it works. Clearly. Example clearly. Right here. Yeah. That was a weird segue. What the hell were we talking about?
All right.
Let's move on.
Well, we were talking about Obama
news.
On Netflix. Oh. I think we're mostly just like, hey, this could be interesting if it turns out to be the case. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that, or should we move on to the next piece of news?
What about, he was on, did you watch the Letterman interview with him? I didn't watch it.
I did, yeah, I did.
We talked about it on here, I think. But
or I watched like half of it.
It was compelling, right? Like, is that kind of a teaser of what you think maybe it would be? But then him walking around, like doing that in public with other people?
I think so.
I mean, in the sense that if he's on camera, I mean, you just get a sense of like that he's just this very, I mean, and it's not like that's the only place where you can see him, but just getting a sense of how like chill he is post-presidency and he's just like happy to sort of like, you know, take the piss out of people essentially.
Yeah.
He's super charismatic and he always has been.
Yes, that's
so
right.
Like if he's on camera, it's just going to be like charm 24/7. But
yeah,
that's the question, I guess, right?
Right. And then part of also the other thing that's going on, which I don't claim to be like I don't claim to be an expert on any of the things we talk about, but especially the political side of this. But my understanding is, you know, that there's this sort of tradition of if you are a former president, you're not supposed to get too partisan or political or like criticize the person who's currently in office. And so, you know, that he can still speak out on issues, but there's sort of this understanding that he shouldn't like be like President Trump sucks.
Right.
Well, I think that's more of like a 100-day thing. Like,
oh, maybe.
100 days
after. My understanding is that there's a certain belief that like, you know.
Yeah, that it's bad. That bad mouth. Pass.
That if you're a former president, you should be sort of above the fray to a certain extent. But
yeah, I don't think you should ever come out and like completely undercut any, you know, president, the current one or upcoming presidents. But I think like the idea of not speaking out on the things you care about and like being like totally, you know, nonpartisan is, I don't think that's
I think he's happy to talk in general terms or like about like
yeah.
specific issues or whatever, but
right.
yeah, not to be
they
like
stick to right. their
but Trump's like, an asshole is something.
Right.
He's
right.
not
like
going to
the Letterman
do that.
Thing, he never mentions Trump by name. And I think that we would expect, you know, whatever he does, whether that's for Netflix or, you know, I think
who knows, though? It's crazy times now. We don't know. Imagine when Trump's like out of office, which hopefully.
Oh,
ASAP,
my God.
He's not going to do that same thing. He's not going to afford that same privilege to like future presidents. For sure he's not.
Oh, my
not.
God. Can
right.
you
it
imagine?
Feels strange because this is a man who clearly doesn't care about any of the norms of office.
Yeah, right.
So why would... I don't know why someone would feel constrained by those norms.
But he might
norms
never leave
just being
office.
Nice
I mean,
to him.
That's true also, right? Like, he could be
also,
president
no,
for eternity.
No,
so
President Ivanka. Sorry. That's my phone. No, but like, can you imagine, like, I hate to do this, but sometimes I find myself like thinking in Trump's mind, you know, because it's like pretty easy, actually. He's like a 6-year-old.
Right.
So it's like, you know, like after he's president and he like loses this limelight, like, can you imagine? He's going to like throw the biggest tantrum, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless, he just, maybe he'll just like retire into insanity or whatever and like. Because then people will take away all of his stuff at that point. Like, it's like there's no reason not to anymore.
Well, I guess
maybe Twitter will finally ban
too.
Him then.
Yeah, Twitter. I'm hoping won't exist by then. But
okay,
let's do away with both Trump and Twitter. Call it a day.
We'll have moved on.
Our lives would be so much better.
Jack Dorsey will have all of his analytics on the social impact, which is what he's looking for now, apparently. And he'll say, "Oh, I see. We must shut this down." For the good
Never mind,
of everyone.
I'm going to focus on Square. Sorry for ruining the last 10 years for everyone.
Yeah, my bad.
okay, let's move on now that we've gotten
all right, so
really
let's talk
like,
about,
ourselves.
The next piece of news, which is about Jon Favreau, who's the director of Iron Man, The Jungle Book, Chef. He's got a remake of The Lion King that's coming out soon. But he's going to be making a Star Wars TV series for the new
Elf.
Streaming service that Disney is
Did
supposed to launch
Elf?
Next year.
Sorry.
Wait, what?
Elf. I mean, he...
Elf. Oh, yeah, he made Elf. That's true. And, you know, wrote and starred in Swingers, which is a very good
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, that one too, yeah. He was in Friends.
Yeah, he's,
oh, yeah.
He's,
he
he's,
was in Friends. He was Monica's boyfriend,
yeah, Monica's
the billionaire.
Boyfriend, who then became an MMA
and he
fighter?
He was in The Replacements.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good like okay. reminisce session about Jon Favreau and his story career.
I mean, he's just like a likable guy, right? He's like not someone who you think of as like a great, and like he's never made a film that I think people are like, oh, this is just like a masterpiece. You should like win all the awards and things. But
yeah.
he's just like does good work.
Yeah. Did he date Famke Janssen or am I... making that up for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know the
don't
word
know.
You just said. Who?
Famke Janssen. She was Jean Grey from...
She was also like the Russian assassin in GoldenEye.
Yeah. But the original X-Men...
I mean, he
like,
might have.
Series.
I don't know.
Anyways. So, he's got a Disney something.
He's got... Yeah. He's making a Star Wars TV series, right, for Disney. And I guess... You know, I get the initial response, at least from our colleague Brian Hader, was just like, Jesus Christ, more Star Wars. Like, why does the... there's going to be so much Star Wars content.
Yeah.
And it's a little crazy.
Yeah, I think the... I don't know. I feel like for our generation, maybe that's like... It's going to be like that. Like, that's how we're going to feel about it. It's like, why have you done this? And then... But for... kids, it's like that's fun. It's like the first Mickey generation. Like the first Mickey generation was like, no, why ruin this? Why ruin Mickey Mouse? We loved Steamboat Willie. It's a classic. We don't need anything else, Mickey Mouse.
How old are you?
I'm just extending back. I'm imagining.
He's extrapolating.
I can see that. It's like 50 well, years ago.
I think one of the differences 80. Is that like, you know, Steamboat, I mean Mickey Mouse was always owned by Disney. Whereas, you know, there was this period where it was this George Lucas thing and you just, you know, you got three movies and you thought maybe that's it. And then you had three more movies, which people would prefer to forget. But, you know, then people were like, oh, maybe that's it. And so there's this feeling of real like scarcity and that whenever it does happen, it's an event.
Yeah.
And now we're switching into a very different mode where Star Wars is just ubiquitous and there's just Star Wars coming out all the time.
Yeah. It's like Hannah Montana or something.
Okay.
It's a weird example.
I don't know about that, but no, I have something to add here, and I'm a little fearful of it. I've always been, yes, to be honest, good. But I never saw Star Wars.
It's, oh my goodness. Oh my. Jordan.
Bomb dropped, right? And it was hard, actually, because I work at TechCrunch and everybody's like, Star Wars this, May the 4th be with you, blah, blah, blah. And finally, recently, I sat down, I watched A New Hope. Actually, let's be honest. I watched Rogue One first, which was probably a mistake, but it actually worked out well because I feel like Rogue One is like the story of how they got the plans.
Yeah, I mean, chronologically,
New Hope is about like,
you could watch that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's still very weird.
It is weird. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was weird. I mean, like, we just saw it on Netflix, and I put it on, and then after that, I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to finally do this and, like, invest the time. So I watched that one, A New Hope, and what's the second? Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. And then I'll watch, you know, I'll keep going on my – I'm going to go by production date, not chronologically, obviously, because it's too late for that. And I really like them. I know that's, like, against popular –
it's a controversial opinion.
Yeah, I mean, like, who likes it? Everybody's against Star Wars, yeah. But I really like them. The only thing I don't like is Chewie seems to bother me a lot.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow. You take issue with, like, Chewie?
No, I mean, I get it, but like, it's just constantly like, you know, and it's like, shush. One, and also like, I mean, I do find myself taking issue with certain things, like every planet they're on just happens to have like breathable air. I'm just like, what are the odds, you know? And
right.
I get it.
Well,
like
they wouldn't be on
so.
the non-breathable air planets.
I get that. But like, it just seems like there's so many, you know, like this moon has oxygen. Like, how do they all have the perfect gravity and air?
I mean, you have to assume that there's a lot of things
for
you
all
know,
these
physics
different species.
Wise and science wise that don't make sense.
Right.
Well, and then I'm
and it's
also,
a fantasy that just happens to take place in space.
And I'm also a little upset, and I know this is like another controversial opinion, but like, I get that Luke and Leia eventually, I'm gonna find out that they're brother and sister. Like, I've plenty of spoiler alerts for Star Wars, so I know what's gonna happen. But, like, in the beginning, Luke was really into Leia, and Leia was into Luke, and then Han Solo came, and, like, not only did he, like, he broke the bro code in two different ways. It's like, he stole his girl first, and now he's dating his sister, which just feels like...
I think this might have been pre-bro code.
Wrong. It has to have been.
I think pre-bro code is, like, an invention of the, I would say 90s, but maybe 80s, but, like, that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, it has to have been because it just seems real treacherous. But yeah, my overall impressions of Star Wars are positive. So
are you going to try to watch every single one of the movies?
Yeah, I am. I've got we're doing Return of the Jedi tonight, and I'll probably do the ones that everybody hates this weekend.
I'd be curious to hear what you think of those.
Yeah, I think I'm actually like it's weird. And like another point is that my girlfriend's younger, right? She was born in 1994 and she actually likes those ones the best. She like loves like the Darth Maul. Is that the one that has the stick lightsaber?
Yeah, I mean Darth Maul is cool. They kind of didn't do enough with him really. They wasted Darth Maul a bit.
And that like Anakin as a kid is like super cool and like
that
it's
is
cool
the opposite of the
him.
Truth.
That is the opposite of the truth. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how I feel about it. But yeah, I'm going to watch those and then I'm going to go through. I've already seen Rogue One. So I'm going to go through the two other new ones, Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
What about the other new one? Wait, there isn't one yet, is there?
Yeah,
no, in a few months.
That's all of them, right?
In a few months. Yeah. Are tickets for that on sale yet, by the way? Does anybody know?
Oh, I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, good.
And then by the time the new one comes out, I'll essentially be like decked out. In my I'll be fresh.
You'll be dressed up like, head to toe as a full Star Wars.
As Chewie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just walk around annoying the shit out of everyone.
Oh, you got...
There are definitely things that I think we just accept because we watched it as a kid, but Chewie is definitely one of them where you're just like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the way he talks
everyone's
is really dumb.
That's a great idea, Bear. Let's do that. You know? And it's like, what? Like...
But they all do that, right? Like, that's what R2 does, too. They kind of they leaned heavily on that one, where they were like, hey, let's have them make the stuff noises. R2. Yeah, and everybody will be like, yeah, I get that. So.
And C-3PO is like the weirdo who can speak, you know? And everybody's like, oh, I'm so annoyed by C-3PO. R2-D2's cute, and Chewie's cute. And it's like, what? Like, I can at least understand C-3PO. He's like a little narcissistic, but...
Well, there's two layers. One is just like the weird thing where, you know, all these different aliens and robots speak these different languages, but people can understand them, which they actually like the Charles Barkley Saturday Night Live. They did a skit about that, which is pretty good. Although Charles Barkley just can't act. So it's not.
Oh, man. He was so rough up there. He like couldn't even read.
I wanted to see this. I didn't see it, but I wanted.
And he's been on multiple times. I don't understand why they keep bringing. I mean, he's charming, but like he's not good.
Oh, man,
But then the other level to that is just, like, even if you're going to have all these different, you know, characters not speaking English, why would one of them just be these sort of, like, you know, howling dog noises?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's like, how is he saying, like, different things? It's all the same noise.
Oh, it's very
subtle.
And
then every once in a while, they'll put subtitles on for someone. And I'm like, why doesn't Chewie have subtitles?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Yeah, but it's...
I think they keep subtitles to a minimum, don't they? I guess with the...
Yeah, with
terminal one, they use subtitles for.
It might have been Jabba.
Jabba, yeah. They always subtitle Jabba.
Jabba's great. I love Jabba.
Me too. Me too.
I think we're going to get into more Jabba stuff here in the Return of the Jedi because Han is with him.
Oh, yeah.
All carbon frozen.
Right. Oh, so you're watching the special edition, so you've seen Jabba already because if you watched... The original trilogy.
And in A New Hope, before. He had like a meeting with him.
Yeah, but right. not. But, he was but, all, like, no, slimy. He didn't. That didn't happen. That's fake.
Yeah. No, it's not. In A New Hope, Han Solo, in A New Hope, the one that I saw, Han Solo.
I know. I know what you're saying.
Goes and meets with him.
But it's,
and Jabba's like, you got to give me my money or 15%.
That never happened. That's in.
But. That in the version that was released in 1977, that scene was
the
cut.
Real version because that was a garbage. It didn't need to happen.
It's also worth noting that I'm spending like $140 to do this.
Hey. Are you like doing the iTunes versions or
Amazon?
That is a very small investment relative to my total amount of money invested in just the movies of Star Wars. I have purchased them so many, many, many times.
Why are you doing that over and over again?
Because I don't know what the future's going to hold. Because
you missed that meeting between Jabba and Han, and you have to get the special edition, right?
No, but, well, yeah, but partly. Like, when the VHSs, you had to buy the VHSs, and then the DVDs came out, I was like, I guess I got to buy the DVDs. And then the Blu-rays, like, you got to buy the Blu-rays. You got to buy all of them in every format, and then the digital.
And then the digital version, yeah. So you can watch it on a plane or whatever.
Well, you just think that might be the end. You're like, this might be the end of technology. I don't know. This is probably the best that it will ever be.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess. That's a very solid guess.
Yeah, technology just ends. It seems to halt every once in a while and just nothing changes.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So you get that one and then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know about this Jon Favreau thing and what he's making, but as a dedicated... lifelong Star Wars fan, which I believe now that I am, I find it to be, I don't want it.
Oh, I don't know. I do. I kind of do. I think it'll be, I just like, he makes good, charming entertainment, which I enjoy. So I feel like
I know I'm new, but I feel like the Star Wars is meant to be film, not series.
Although I've heard good, so I've watched a little bit of The Clone Wars, which was an animated series.
Yeah.
And I liked it. Haven't seen any of Rebels, which is another animated series, but I've heard it's good. And so
Rebels is good. Rebels is very good.
Yeah, I hear good things about Star Wars on TV.
It's been good so far. Like, yeah, those are both great examples of very enjoyable television made based on Star Wars. Like, they're not. I think the one thing, it's not like a live action thing, so that kind of leaves things up in the air, maybe. But
right, because. I mean, like 10 years ago, George Lucas wanted to make a live action Star Wars TV series, but the budget was just, they could never like make the budget make any sense because you're spending a ton of money. But, you know, now we're in the era where like Game of Thrones is a thing and they spend insane amounts of money every episode. So maybe Disney is willing to do that for this show as well.
Yeah, you never know.
I wonder what the budget was for Battlestar Galactica.
$35.
No.
No, it was probably more than
the
that.
New I think one? It was, I mean, comparatively less. Yeah.
Comparatively, I mean, less to like a feature than
film.
What?
Compared to a feature film, or compared to like a big budget show now, like Game of Thrones. I mean, Game of Thrones, I think, is you know, basically the most expensive show of all time. So that's sort of a high bar. But
Game of Thrones came out in like whatever 2013, 2012.
2011 was the first season.
Right. Whereas like Battlestar was like 2001, yeah, 2002.
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Makes a difference. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to John.
Yeah. You know, he probably won't screw it up unless maybe he does.
I think, well, what it depends on is whether or not we wished him luck, whether he screws it up or not. So now we
That's
have.
What I was just thinking. I was like, he has my blessing, and I'm sure he's been waiting this whole time for this person who watched their first Star Wars film 4 days ago.
Yeah.
To be like, I think you can do it, Monica's boyfriend.
Man, what a seminal role that was, Monica's boyfriend.
He played it well, though. I mean, he's like super memorable. He's memorable in everything. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I don't think I've seen a movie where he was like the solo star. Was that Swingers? Was he a star?
Swingers is probably the closest. Yeah. But in general, and Chef. But like in general,
most
he's not.
Of what I've seen, he's like the side character, but you like totally, he's like the most memorable person from all of it.
Yeah, he's a great comic actor. He's like, I mean, in like the Marvel movies, like anytime he shows up, it's always good.
Oh yeah, who does he play again? Tony's like guy.
Happy Hogan.
Happy
think
Hogan.
Name,
yeah. He's like security guy, slash.
Which is great. Just I love how like they do find ways to bring like the dumb comic book names of characters.
Yes.
Into the they're just like he's named Happy Hogan. Why not?
Yeah, it's alliterative because Stanley couldn't remember names otherwise.
That is, you know.
Did you know that? That's the actual reason for like why.
Wait, I didn't know that.
For why so many Marvel heroes
have alliterative names. The dude wrote a lot of comics, so fair enough.
Yeah, he just said, I made them alliterative so that I could remember them because otherwise I couldn't.
I mean, wow. I don't think you could always trust what he. I mean, I think like sometimes he says stuff that's sort of tongue in cheek and, you know, also just, I think a lot of exactly what happened in the creation of those, you know, early Marvel comics is sort of disputed between the different people who were involved.
Oh, but, right. Like he might not even have created them. He just took credit for it later.
Or like,
kind of like Shakespeare.
Exactly. Right. To what extent, you know, Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko in particular, like, really did all the creative work. But, I mean, Stan Lee definitely wrote a lot of comics, though, or at least was involved in a lot of comics. And I just think, you know, sometimes I think he just tells stories that sound cool. You know what I mean? Like it's just like, oh, it's funny if I say that it was, I just liked remembering them. So I don't know. I don't know in this particular case, but I wouldn't necessarily, just because
it's
he
bold.
Says it, I wouldn't take
bold.
It as gospel.
Accusations from Anthony.
That's me going after a, you know, 95-year-old giant of comics, like you do.
So if you want to answer those accusations, feel free to
come on the show.
Stan Lee, yeah.
All right. Before I dig myself in any further, let's move on to our final piece of news, which is the Oscar ceremony. I mean, it really feels like the Oscars were not just – a week ago, like, you know, 5 days ago, but they were 5 days ago.
I heard their ratings were very bad. That's what I heard.
They were the lowest rated Oscars of all time.
Do you know what my source was from that? President Donald Trump.
Well, in this case, I guess it was not fake news. Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's an interesting thing to talk about because I, you know, one of the questions is because apparently like all the big live TV events are just down, like the Super Bowl was down this year. You know, I think in general, it just seems like the idea of this, you know,
these shared cultural telecasts
that bring everyone together is just, you know, going away to an extent at least.
Yeah. I think it's it gets back to what we were talking about before. Like people, the touchstone is now the asynchronous. Like it's like everybody has seen this Netflix special or this Netflix show or whatever. That's what, more of the water cooler style talk or just like the casual conversation among people you meet, you know, for a few seconds or whatever
like,
is about
that.
If
you think about the Oscars too, like I watched the whole thing and that show is like 4.5 hours long or something crazy.
I think it's 3.5. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy long.
The vast majority of that time, you're just like, oh my God, like, are they going to do anything? Is anything going to happen?
It's very indulgent. I mean?
And the answer was no. Nothing was going to happen.
The answer is no. You can get everything you needed from watching the Oscars
in a 15-minute
BuzzFeed the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
No, on BuzzFeed the next day. Here's 20 of the greatest moments from the Oscars. Here's 15 of the most awkward moments from the Oscars. And you take 10 minutes to read those things and you're like, okay.
Yeah. And we learned that.
I got everything I need.
We learned it like with our own award show. We were like, oh, wow, this is really dumb and really self-indulgent. Let's stop doing this, right? Like,
I worked really hard on it, but yeah, I agree. It was self-indulgent.
Yeah, but you didn't work hard on the self-indulgent parts. Come on.
Well, and that there's like there's a certain no-win quality to it, which is, I mean, I think illustrated this year too, where one can assume, I think it's safe to assume that the way this ceremony went is way closer than to what the producers wanted than last year's did with the huge, you know, best picture fuck up. But like, yeah, people were talking about the Oscars last year in a way that they're not this year.
That's true.
Because people were just like, all right,
they were just, that's they fine, just whatever. Happened uneventfully, right? As far as I know.
Right. Everything went smoothly. There was no,
I was saying before, you know, I didn't hear any of it. I didn't hear anything about it. I didn't know who won any of the Oscars. I knew nothing about it. Partly was
you found out literally like 5 minutes before we started recording this episode that The Shape of Water won Best Picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which could be the most shocking thing about it.
Yeah, I think so too. But and like the only other thing I heard about it was like that Trump said that, and I heard that Trump said that only because I heard that Jimmy Kimmel responded and said like, "You have the lowest rated presidency of all time." Sick burn or whatever.
This is a very good
Huburn
conversation that they're having.
High level.
Productive. Just,
really
elevates the discourse.
One of my favorite moments from, actually for real, one of my favorite moments from the Oscars was when they went to a movie theater, which it was like really,
I hated that.
No, it was super lame. It wasn't the fact that they went to the movie theater. It was that at one point Jimmy Kimmel was like, "It smells a lot like marijuana in here," and Gal Gadot was like, "It does. I don't know what that smells like, but it definitely does," or something like, "Not that I know, but yes." And I was just like, "Yes, that's awesome." Gal Gadot's like, "I smoke, but no, I don't." But other than that, that whole thing was just a huge waste. And it's also like, it's kind of like what you're talking about with the Crunchies, like our award show. Like, these people take themselves so seriously. And I really do believe that like movies like develop some level of empathy within people that like they might not get otherwise, like expands their horizons and helps them understand different points of view and different cultures and like see and meet like figurative, fictional or real people that they might have never known or learned about before. And that's great. It really is. But like that alone doesn't necessarily change the world. And the way all of these industry people talk about it, it's like, they think that they're saving the planet, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, no, dude.
Yeah, you like, know? Calm like, down. It's not like you're a YouTuber or something. Like, you don't have that much impact.
Yeah, you're not Logan, what's his face? Like, yeah. I almost said Logan Green. That's the founder of Lyft. And he actually might be changing the world. Let's not.
Logan Paul is definitely changing the world.
yeah, one skydive at a time. So anyways, the Oscars were a waste of 3.5 hours, but congratulations to all the winners. And Netflix had a win, right?
With Icarus? So Icarus, which won for best documentary feature. So Netflix actually did a little better this year than they did last year. I think they got documentary short. I mean, not to say that features are better than shorts, but obviously people watch features and they don't watch short films.
Yeah.
But like Amazon did not do as well because last year they had Manchester by the Sea and The Salesman, which both won a bunch of like major awards. And this year they basically got nothing. They had The Big Sick, which was nominated for best original screenplay, but they didn't get anything. So it was not like a great ceremony for the streaming companies, although Netflix was probably okay. But even in Netflix's case, this movie Mudbound, which we reviewed on the podcast, had 4 nominations and it didn't win any of them.
Ooh.
But Mary J. Blige did perform from the motion picture. I bet it got a spike in views.
Oh, I'm sure.
After the show.
Yeah, I'm sure it had a boost from it, for sure.
And everyone should watch Mudbound. It's actually really good.
It's fantastic.
I would argue significantly better than The Shape of Water, a movie that I like but think is incredibly overrated.
Really?
But significantly overrated. I think it's perfectly fine.
The fanboy boat for Shape of Water.
I'm going to watch that today.
Not to insult Shape you or water. Anything, but
no, I like it, but I think like, you know, I don't think it's the best picture of the year by any stretch.
Yeah. I liked Mudbound a lot too. And I liked Icarus. Icarus was pretty slow actually, but it's one of those documentaries where you feel like something was actually revealed that you couldn't find out on your own. Mm. It's like the difference between like a news story and like a proper scoop, you know, like if you could, you could Google some of the stuff that comes up in documentaries, you know what I mean? And like actually do the research and find it out yourself. Whereas like in Icarus, this cyclist, the guy who made the film, like gets in touch with this Russian doctor who essentially was at the heart of the entire doping scandal and like figured out all these like weird details about how they switched the urine samples with like these special bottles that they created. And I don't know, like they poured like millions of dollars into this thing. And like, we wouldn't have ever known that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think it was a good film in that they brought something totally new to light. Like it was a proper documentary, you know?
Cool. I would watch it, but I'm going to watch Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, man. I want to watch that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Jumanji yet.
Well,
The one last awards related thing that seemed kind of worth bringing up that I saw somebody tweeted was that if you look at the best director category, basically for like four of the last 5 years, it's been won. It's basically been owned by these guys who call themselves the Three Amigos, which is like Alfonso Cuarón, Alejandro Iñárritu, and Guillermo del Toro, who are just, you know, friends from Mexico, filmmaking friends from Mexico, and they've basically just completely owned Best Director for like half of a decade.
Huh. That's interesting. I didn't know about that.
I mean, Del Toro, this is the first time Del Toro's won it, and you know, I think it's definitely
overdue. But he's been
nominated
like four times, right? Something like that?
Has he?
Not that, because I mean, he was... His last two movies were Pacific Rim and...
And the Hellboy series. No, that was a while
and,
ago.
And what was... And Crimson Peak, and those were not... I mean, those are all good movies. I wasn't crazy about Crimson Peak, but yeah, he wasn't...
What about Pan's Labyrinth? Wasn't that nominated for something or no?
It was nominated for Best Foreign Film. I don't think it was nominated. He wasn't... I think this is the first time he's been nominated for Best Director.
Yeah. Oh, it's also worth noting that Jordan Peele won for Best Original Screenplay. On his debut film with four nominations. So that's pretty great.
Yeah. I thought that was, I mean, I think some people were hoping that Get Out would just, you know, walk away with the big prize.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit too much of like just a horror movie. It's probably to do that. But I was really, really happy to see him win.
I was glad he got one, you know, like I could have seen him getting two or three. I didn't think he was going to win, or I didn't think Get Out was going to win Best Picture, but, I'm glad he got one. For sure. He deserves it.
And there were those like photos that got posted online of Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, just like look like at a watch party looking so freaking happy when Jordan Peele won, which made me very, you know, just brought
That's
some
cute.
Warmth to my heart. Yeah.
And they just
I mean,
had
I think
a
that,
baby like 2 months ago, Jordan Peele and Chelsea Peretti,
former host of the Crunchies.
It all comes together. It all ties back to the Crunchies.
That's really her main claim to fame is hosting the Crunchies, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. That's all I remember her from.
That seems fair. All right, I think we've probably beaten this not very exciting award show as far as it's going to go. That was a really confusing metaphor. So let's move on to our review.
As far as that's so weird.
Everything
I don't wanna
sucks.
Leave that go. What is it? What is, I'm trying to remember, like, what can I refer to?
I don't know. I don't. I. But so this is a Netflix series that takes place in the 1990s at a high school called Boring High School, which I guess is supposed to be funny. And I know that I think we talked about this a few episodes ago when Daryl posted the trailer, and it was basically the entire theme of the trailer was, hey, remember this? Hey, remember this? And we were not super excited about it. How do we, like, now that we've actually seen the show, how do we feel about it?
So I watched like, go ahead, Daryl. I'm sure you have something negative that I can follow up with positivity.
Well, that's the thing. I watched it. I watched the first half and I told you guys like, oh, this is the worst garbage. Why did we have to watch this? Like the first half of the first episode. But then, and I honestly at that point did not plan to watch any more of it. And then Anthony was like, finish the first episode. And I did, and it got interesting. I wouldn't say good, but it got interesting towards the end. And then I watched the rest, and then I actually really, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is the most shocking thing that's ever happened on this podcast, I have to say.
I was shocked. No? I was watching it on the plane, and they say that the plane can affect your emotional response to fill.
It totally right, so can. I cry on every flight I'm on. I swear. No matter what movie I'm watching, I'm like, oh man, this is making me cry. This scene from Bridesmaids.
Yeah,
like,
right. But it definitely felt impactful, and I was like, oh man, this is just great. It's actually really moving and relatable and blah, 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 blah. So I think it was, part of it was, and I think Anthony, you mentioned this, but it was like, once they got over the like, hey, it's the 90s, here's some 90s stuff, and we're going to put it in front of you and like make a big deal about it, and just started telling a good story, it was like enjoyable.
So here are my, I only watched like 5 episodes, I think, so I'm not all the way through it, but I love the main character. I think his name's Luke, the little guy. He's fantastic. And I do like the main girl character. I don't remember her name. She's like interesting and kind of weird. Like she reminds me of, the girl who played, not Erica Christensen. I'll think of it in a minute. But either way, I think like all of the fantastic, like all of the unique, interesting like character development was like poured into those two. And like everyone else is like a cliche. That's my biggest kind of like complaint. Like I really want to know about like the other two like kind of dweebs that are his friends.
Yeah.
And like I want to know more about like the drama. And like at what high school are the drama people
that, well
the running the show like I just
so there was the just a couple things like Luke O'Neill, that's the main character played by Jahi Diallo Winston, and then Kate Messner is the I guess the female lead played by Peyton Kennedy.
Julia Stiles.
That's who she reminds you of?
That's who she reminds me of. Like a young
she reminded
Julia
me
Stiles.
Weirdly of the little boy with the curly hair from the Stranger Things. I thought they had similar. I know it's not flattering. I thought they had similar facial expressions or something. But anyway, yeah. I think also if you watch the whole series, they do a decent job of developing some of those other characters a bit more.
That's good because that's what I felt like had been missing the whole time. Like this one character, Luke, is like so awesome. Like for his age, like he's just like so smart and funny and like cute and sweet and like he just got everything going for him. And then like his little, you know, kind of dorky friends just feel so rote.
Well, I'd say watch it through and you'll see that it's like it's good. They've done a good job because they want you, like I feel like they want you, the intention is to have you feel that way about all those characters through the first half and then to like maybe subvert a bit of that. Yeah.
Expand.
I do think, like you mentioned, the boring. Like, that's stupid. Is it a real place? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it right
now. I assume not.
Because if it's not, if it is, then it's acceptable. If it's not, then it's, okay.
It's real.
Then that's acceptable. If it was an act.
It's an unincorporated community in Clackamas County, Oregon, United States, in the foothills of Cascade Mountain.
They get a pass on that. Although
I don't know if I think it makes it less annoying, but I think it's still annoying because they definitely harp on it. Like every episode is always like, welcome back to boring high school.
And also,
like,
based on that, if it's an unincorporated community, like it doesn't seem like they would have this fancy ass East Coast style. Like that's to get back to your point about drama school and where is that cool? It's like the only place that's cool is at an arts focused prep school. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it's not like.
Yeah.
It's not going to be in this tiny town in Oregon or whatever.
And even then,
I don't know.
Like,
Oregon's
not really
weird.
But maybe it has something to do with the 90s. Like, he really, like, that guy and the girl, I guess, who are in the drama club really encapsulate, like, that 90s kind of, like, we smoke pot under the bleachers look and vibe, you know? Like, they had their own. I think in the 90s, that group, like, drama, let's set the drama thing aside. Like, that group of, like, the kind of grungier, like, listen to the cooler music, are willing to break the rules, like, smoke inside of the auditorium kids had their own, you know, stomping grounds, just like jocks did or whoever.
Yeah, that's true. It was like, it was an alternate, like, that was commonly used at the time in the 90s, right? Like, alt culture or whatever, but it was legit. Like you had like the cool group in school and they were still kind of like stupid preppy assholes
who like but didn't give a shit about the jocks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly.
Skaters, I guess, kind of. But I don't know.
I've had Rocket Man stuck in my head since I saw that episode where
she
sings it, though.
That was really good.
Like, literally, it was haunting. Yeah. It was so good. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah, even the principal, who is played by this Patch Dara, Ken Messner is his character's name. At first, I despised him. I was like, no, no, no. What have you done? This is awful. It really was crazy how much of a turnaround it was for me from, like, I find every person in this despicable and, like, they're doing a bad job to, oh, I really, really like this. I still don't really understand.
I'm curious which episode
I don't understand
it was.
The turnover.
Like, if there was a moment.
Yeah, when that happened. But, like...
Yeah.
It...
Because I actually like him a lot. I feel like he's one of the only characters outside of Luke and what, remind me the girl's name?
Kate.
Yeah, other than Luke and Kate, he feels like the only other character who's developed a little bit. Like, that is not entirely a cliche. He's like a little bit Mr. Bedford from Saved by the Bell, but like not so corny. And like you can tell he's got this like kind of soft, fuzzy inside that you want to get to
know,
you know.
I would wait for it really does give everybody kind of a chance to something to like something to empathize with or latch onto or whatever, like even characters who seem kind of totally vapid and shitty, like Emmeline for instance, there's reason to root for them like sort of later on, so keep watching. I don't want to spoil
it. I would say, I mean, it also becomes genuinely, I remember like the first episode I didn't think was funny at all. I thought it was just like awful. And then at the end it became sort of dramatically interesting, but not funny. And then by like the third episode, I thought it had actually gotten like, you know, there were times where I was like laughing out loud, like which I was not expecting at all after the first episode when I was just sort of clutching my head and groaning for the first 15
minutes. I thought so too. I don't know what it was, like whether it was like, they hand it off to someone who is actually capable or whether they just had to get that dross out of the way of like the 90s shit. Like, again, it still really seems like they were like.
Well, maybe it was purposeful. Like, maybe it was intentional because like pilots in the 90s sucked too. Like,
I think that's giving them far too much credit.
From the 90s. Maybe not on purpose, but like. I mean, a lot of what they did, like, and a lot of what kind of bothers me about the show is that, like, they've tried to follow format, you know, as well as function for the 90s. Like, there are scenes that last so long, like, where you're just like, this did not need to be this long, but it's at a slower pace, just like things were in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Although, yeah, that's hard to say because I think also Netflix just, you know, by its nature allows for a certain degree of kind of, you know, looseness to its show. So I don't know if that's an intentional homage or they're just like, hey, we can get away with this
there
and we think it's interesting.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, like we have a minute spare in the script. Let's just like extend this.
There was some stuff about like the AV Club, like some of the cinematography. I noticed they did this a lot was like a sort of a lame in-shot zoom, which is a really weird technique to use. Like be like focused on someone and then zoom a little bit like out to give a wider scene or in and it, with a kind of like a handheld or sort of I don't know, like an amateur tripod look, and I thought that was intentional, and I don't know if that was to reflect, I don't remember enough about like 90s filmmaking if that was a thing of 90s filmmaking or if it was just like about the AV Club.
Seems like it was it could be both, you know, probably a little touch of both. If we're not giving them too much credit, I don't know. You guys seem to think we are, but.
Well, I mean, I have to say that, and again, so I've only seen three episodes, but it felt to me like stylistically it wasn't that close to, you know, the stuff I have seen and remember from the 90s. It felt more, it was like you were saying, like that it was just like the subject was, and then obviously the music, and they're just these constant references. But stylistically, it didn't remind me of the 90s the way that, I think something like Stranger Things, I think, is clearly meant to sort of evoke the style of 80s filmmaking. That wasn't as clear to me about this show.
Yeah, I do think actually, speaking of the music, since you brought it up, I really thought the music was effective. Whereas the like visual stuff and like the props and things and the way that the characters used phrases and things from the 90s was mostly annoying and stuck out. The music was like good, I felt like. I don't know. You're used effectively, No,
I did not like the music. Or I think it grew. I grew to tolerate it. At first, I was, because I hated everything else. Yeah. I was just like, ugh. And then when like I liked the rest of it, then even if I thought, oh, this song choice feels a little bit obvious, it didn't make me annoyed. I was just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it did feel a bit like our work karaoke events of years past.
Hey.
No, I don't.
That's not very nice. And also, the 90s, it all depends on how you feel about the 90s yeah. music, honestly. Like, you can't say that you like hate or like the music. It's 90s music. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Well, you
can, right. you can hate 90s music, is, you're going to hate this music.
No, no, but like, it's how it's used, too, right?
Right. And it feels like, was this the most obvious 90s song choice for this, where you sort of expect everyone to recognize it and immediately go, like, oh, that's funny that they're using this song for this moment, versus like, okay, this is a 90s soundtrack, but there can still be creativity in how they use it.
They use Space Hog as their main one. Is it Space Hog? That's what it is, right?
Are you talking about Wonder Woman?
No. Yeah. The one that like he goes like ooh, I'm not gonna try it.
Yeah, that one.
That helps. I totally know meantime, what you're talking about.
I thought that was a good choice because it's like a little bit non-obvious. And
that's true.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Also, just a trivia tidbit. It was actually filmed on location in Boring, Oregon.
You just learned that because a second ago you didn't know if Boring, Oregon did just was learn real.
That's right. Because I was looking at the cast page to make sure cool. I had everybody's stuff right.
Interesting. Yes. We can get a 3-star average hotel for $127.
Let's go. Let's do a everything sucks fan tour
on location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcast.
I mean, I'm curious. What if it turns out that the creators of this show actually like are from Boring, Oregon, and this is all just completely accurate, and we just look like complete dicks, like ignorant dicks, being like, "Oh, obviously, this is just
That's
all
what
like
Google
just
they're from
Anthony. Let's figure it out.
Irvine,
California.
So, and the guy
that's very close to where I grew up
is actually Ben York Jones, who played Star Jones or whatever his name was, Stargrove, Mr. Stargrove. That's one of the co-creators. You know who I'm talking about, right? The AV guy, the nerdy guy with the glasses.
Oh, the AV teacher. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Who I also hated at first and then grew to like. But I really do think you have to see it in its totality to make a good judge. I think they ended up at like a really good place for what they ended up. This isn't too spoilery.
How many episodes are there? And did you feel like at the end one, like you can't wait for the next season? Was there like a cliffhanger?
That's what I was
going to
say.
Or?
They did set it up. I wouldn't call it a cliffhanger. They set it up for a follow-up season. So either they got picked up for like a two-season arc right away, or they just were hoping for one. But
right. I'm sure we'll find out soon. It's been like the obligatory few weeks.
Yeah.
One other thing I'm curious about is, you know, I think all of us, when we saw the first episode, were sort of primed not to like it because we hadn't liked the trailer. And then Daryl had seen it and told
awful.
Us that it was
like,
awful.
I thought despicable.
Daryl's first post was like, everything sucks yeah. or something. And like,
the
that
trailer
was
angered
said.
Me too. So I was already like predisposed to not like it. But.
Right. So I'm really curious about if we went back and watched the first episode in this sort of more charitable state of mind, if we'd be like, oh, this really isn't as bad as we thought it was, or it would be more like, wow, that first 15 minutes just like is real, like pure shit. I don't know how they like managed to get past that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery for the
It's like, I don't know, but it really does tell it tells a great affecting story once they get over their awkward phase, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, watch it. Also, don't go look at Space Hog on Twitter because you'll be really sad. Space Hog only has 3,444 followers on Twitter.
Maybe that'll change.
They're not still extant.
They are extant.
They're not.
Yes.
Oh, well, now I feel bad. I mean, I thought they basically just had that one song. And then who to
follow in the right-hand side? Everclear, Soul Asylum.
Oh, Everclear man, was that, the first concert follow, I ever went to.
Who to follow is
was
always
American
like
Hi-Fi wow. and Everclear. And that was a great concert.
Impressive.
So I was, I'm you're clearly in the target like demo. Right in the target, you know, yeah. audience for the show. And yet I was just like, yeah, pretty good.
I think you guys should both watch it to the end. I think you'll get a lot out of it. But
well, we have other stuff to watch, apparently.
It's true. Is there anything else you want to say about Everything Sucks, or should we talk about it next week?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth getting into spoilers. There's not really any cause to do that. So let's leave it spoiler free.
Right. And you're the only one who's actually watched the whole season.
That's weird. Yeah, that's a reversal of the normal thing. Normally I'm the delinquent.
It is.
Well, I feel like, Daryl, you're always either all in or you're just like, you know, like, ugh, I'll watch one so I can talk about it, but I really don't care. Versus like, I'll be like, I want to like watch just enough that I can talk intelligently about it. And then once in a while, I'll love it. But like, it takes a lot for me to just be like, I'm all in. I'll just watch the whole thing, even though we don't really need to do that.
Yeah, that's a pretty low bar for me. But it is it's like an all or nothing situation.
Well, so next week we're going to review the second season of Jessica Jones, which I assume we've all seen the first season.
Yeah.
And then if we're feeling particularly motivated...
Oh, wait, I lied. I haven't. I didn't see the first season. I don't know why I said that. I was looking into the distance at something and just said yes.
Jordan, I think it is up to you whether or not you think it would be interesting to just get caught up or just to
what
start with season two
do?
And see
you
how it sounds on its own.
The first
do.
Season was one of my favorite things Netflix has made, so... I don't know if that helps you, but
I think the first season
is
really
good. It's
like a
superhero thing, right? Like she's a superhero.
But it's
yes.
But it's like all the Marvel Netflix shows where it's like too long. Like it's like it did not need to be 13. And there are like episodes where you're like, oh, come on.
Is that
yeah. So yeah. Oh, so you should probably just start. Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to just like download with one of you guys. And get caught up and then watch the second season.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I mean, that and Star Wars is just too much, guys.
I was going to say, there's not really any time crunch on Star Wars, but I understand.
No, but internally, like I started and I know I'll drop off. Well, whatever.
She's got to find out how the rebellion turns out.
Yeah. I keep like trying to piss off my girlfriend and be like, I'm kind of with the Empire. Like, why is everybody rebelling?
Yeah, they're pretty great. They have some good policies.
Well, I also haven't seen, you know, 1, 2, and 3, so I don't know how all this came to be. It just seems like...
Right.
You know, they're in charge. He's the emperor. He looks sickly, but he's the emperor. Like,
it's not fair to just dislike somebody because he's sickly, right? I mean...
Well, I keep trying to figure out what happened to Darth Vader. I know he was thrown in lava, but like, what happened to make him so angry?
I can promise you that the answer, not interesting or satisfying or convincing.
Yeah.
Really?
That's too bad. You don't go like, oh, I get it.
I mean, it's good to, the prequels are good to look at. I've never seen episode 2, I should say, and I never will. But 1 and 3, they're dumb movies that are good to
maybe
look
like,
at.
Aren't they just all like space politics?
There's a lot of space politics. There's more than you probably ever thought.
It's a weird
you would see
mix
on film.
Of like space
but I mean,
politics.
Like, I'm into House of Cards.
Ooh,
and stuff,
but it's like, not interesting space politics. It's like if House of Cards
and often with like weird like kind of like borderline like racist caricatures like driving the politics.
Oh God.
Yeah. So it's like if you
like,
had.
Are these supposed to be like Asian? Are these guys supposed to be Jewish? Like what? What's happening?
If you had if House of Cards was just people in yellow face debating the merits of trade agreements in Parliament, like that's what it would be. That's what it is.
Oh my God. That's no good. Oh, by the way, the trailer. Did you guys see that on the Oscars? That's another like tiny bit of news. The House of Cards trailer.
Oh yeah,
with Robin Wright. We've only just begun.
Oh yeah. I didn't see the actual trailer. I just saw the image from it.
I mean, it was like 30 seconds. It was just like a slow pan.
Okay, I basically saw the whole thing
of the desk, and then her being like, "We've only just begun," and then the House of Cards music, but like still impactful. I'm excited.
Good.
Which, because Jordan, you're caught up on the show.
Hell yeah, I watched it like 3 times over. I'm ready to go.
So like. Because I've only seen the first season. My sense is that actually, changing the show to like focus just on Claire is not going to, based on where they ended the last season, is actually not going to be that dramatic a change.
No, not at all.
Good.
Yeah. So like it actually, spoiler alerts for people who are not caught up on House of Cards. We're done anyway, so go ahead and ditch. But she has become president. She was vice president to him, and he resigned in the face of impeachment, I believe, over his past crimes. And so she's president now anyway, and I think his plan was to go work at like a nonprofit or something and like still try to rule as her right hand, but now obviously I don't know what they're going to do with him. Yeah, I don't know exactly if he'll like appear in the first episode or like not appear at all.
I don't think he's going to appear at all because I think they were just like, no, we're just going to do a season without
him. Yeah, we got to get out of here.
I mean,
did you guys, by the way,
change that, but I think it
was that a spoiler horn that somebody played, or was that just an actual horn in the background of the track?
It was an actual horn.
The timing for it was amazing.
That I'm sitting at, if I touch it, it kind of makes
outside of my apartment. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's like, it's essentially the show has been setting itself up for this for a long time, actually. I don't know if the plan was always to go like 100% in on Claire, but like the evolution of the show started with her being like this support system for him as he tries to dominate the world and like showing kind of their partnership in that. And then her becoming more and more like, I hesitate to use the word greedy, but like entitled to like her position in that,
sure,
you know, yeah, power structure. And now like, you know, it's her time to kind of show what she's made of and be the one who's in charge. And I can't wait for it, man. I cannot wait. And then Handmaid's Tale comes out in like a month, too.
There's a lot coming out.
Oh,
man. It's going to be a great
Luke Cage
summer, you guys.
Season 2 is June as well, I think they just announced. So I'm pumped about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the year where Marvel and Netflix are like, hey, remember you used to like the stuff we made? We're back now. And I say that as somebody who kind of liked the Defenders, but I think like the just having Iron Fist, which everyone hated, and then Defenders, which people were sort of meh and like lukewarm on, like I think really kind of made it seem like last year was not a great year for them.
Well, and also like I just think for us in a more like insular sense, we have been doing like brand new shows, like pilot series for like a while now, it feels like. It'll be nice to do like a season two of something, you know?
Even if we haven't seen season one.
Yeah, even if we haven't seen season one, I'm excited to hear y'all's enthusiasm. I anytime we do something that you two like, I like it. I want you guys to be happy.
There we go.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back next week for our review of Jessica Jones. In the meantime, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on any podcast app of your choice, and thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. We'll